I'm tired and I'm weary, but I must toil on till the Lord comes to call me away. Where the morning is bright and the lamp is the light, and the night is as fair as the day. And there'll be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more trouble. There will be gonna be peace in the valley for me. And the skies will be clear and serene. There the bear will be gentle, and the wolf, it will be tame, and the lion will lay down by the lamb. Oh, the host from the wild will be led by a child. And I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Oh, and there will be peace in the valley. Oh, for me, some of these days. Oh, there'll be peace in the valley for me. No more sorrow, no more sadness or trouble. There will be gonna be peace in the valley for me. And there'll be peace in the valley for me someday. Gonna be peace in the valley, oh, for me. No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more trouble. There'll be peace in the valley for me. And I want to sing one more song, and I've sang it here several times, but I just want to sing it again. I've never been this homesick before. I believe that we're going home someday, and that we're going to see the face of our Redeemer, the one who died for us. And I've never been this homesick before. Worship with me. There's a light in the window, and the table set in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. Oh, I can see a crystal river. Oh, I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick before. Let's see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my Father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance.
Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before. See the family gather, sweet faces, they're all familiar. No one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, this old lonesome heart is crying. Think I'll spread my wings for flying. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Let's see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been. I can see the family gather, sweet faces all familiar. No one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, this old lonesome heart is crying. Think I'll spread my wings for flying. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Let's see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Let's see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Let's see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
I feel His presence in here already. The power of God is here. The river is flowing tonight. It's time somebody steps in. The river is flowing tonight. And I don't want it to flow by me. I want to jump in and be saturated by the presence of God. Hallelujah. I feel the power of God in this place tonight. Stand to your feet all over this place. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Samuel tonight, please. I love the Word of God, as I know many of you do. And I like those passages in the Word of God that are not preached a lot, but have great meaning behind them and are very important to the Word of God. Those stories that you don't hear about all the time, but when you read them, It just gets good to you. 2 Samuel chapter 9, please. One of my favorite stories in the entirety of the Word of God. I'm going to read from verse 1. Begin with verse 1. When you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
It says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Now, if you would please look down at that 13th verse, the final verse in the chapter, where the Bible says, So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. Tonight I'm going to preach a message entitled, I'm Coming Out of Lodibar. I'm Coming Out of Lodibar. Tonight I'm certainly thankful to Brother Jerry Nelson for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. Once again, I never should and never, I hope I'll never take it lightly that a pastor would open up his pulpit for me to preach in. And I'm certainly very grateful to Pastor Jerry for opening up his pulpit. And I'm thankful to all of you that have came out tonight for this service. I'm coming out of Lodibar. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this service. We thank you for your presence that we already feel in this place. We thank you for your power that can be felt in this place. Lord, I pray tonight that you would anoint me from on high to preach your word. Lord, I ask that this would not just be another Sunday night message. I ask that this would not just be another regular Sunday night service, but we would have an awakening, an encounter with your presence tonight. Lord, I pray that your power would move in this place among everyone that is here, that not one person would leave this place tonight without being changed by you. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me to preach and anoint those that are here, that they could hear and receive of your word tonight. For all that is accomplished, we're going to give you praise, we're going to give you glory, and give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn and tell somebody you're in the right place tonight. Tonight, as I told you, what we've just read is one of my favorite stories in the Word of God. I love the stories such as Moses and the Red Sea and David and Goliath and all of these many stories that we read of powerful things that happen. But then I also love those stories like the one we've just read tonight, where we may not know as much about it, but we can still learn just as much from it. And tonight I want to speak to you on that subject that's very important to me and should be important to you. But to adequately, I believe, preach this tonight, I've got to give you a little bit of background information so that you can understand where I'm coming from tonight. And the names and the places that are mentioned in this story are extremely important. What the names that we read, the places that we read are very important. I've titled my message tonight, I'm Coming Out of Lodibar. Lodibar is one of the places that we read of in this story. And I have to give a little bit of backstory on it. 1 Samuel 31. We read in that chapter and we find that the wicked king Saul had committed suicide. He killed himself and he had been hit by the archers in battle and he gave up on living and he fell on his sword, or it could have been a spear, to kill himself. And three of his sons died that day as well. And if you find out, he had consulted with a witch the night before. And she had told him that you're going to die tomorrow. And that shows us that he shouldn't have been consulting with the witches at all. But we read that he died that day just as she said. And the mighty king of Israel was dead. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 1:27, how are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? The once mighty king Saul was now dead. And 2 Samuel 4:4 says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Here for the first time we read about the son of Jonathan whose name was called Mephibosheth. But his name had not always been called Mephibosheth, you find reading in the Word of God. He'd not always been called that. His former name that he had was Merab Baal. Before he was called Mephibosheth, he was called Merab Baal. And that name meant contender with Baal. Merab Baal, and it also could have meant idol breaker. Merab Baal, contender with Baal, idol breaker. This was a mighty name to be given to someone. When you heard that name, Merab Baal, in the Bible times, you knew that it was a powerful name. Contender with Baal. But we see in verse 4 that when news came to Israel that the king Saul and his three sons were dead, the whole place around it became like a riot. Young Merab Baal was only 5 years old when this took place, as we read in Scripture. We must realize, though, that when a king died, sometimes the family would be killed. And sometimes the family would be removed in that situation. So we find in the frantic moment, in the riot that we read of in Scripture, his nurse was trying to get him out of the area. Merab Baal, that is. His nurse was trying to get 5-year-old Merab Baal out of the area, and in the process of doing so, she dropped him. Now, I could stop there. We have people in our lives sometimes that are trying to help us in life, and sometimes they fail. Some of us have been dropped just like young Merab Baal was dropped. There were some people in your life that you thought were going to be there forever, but they dropped you. There were some people in your life that you put great trust in and you put great faith in, but they ended up dropping you. Does that mean they always had bad intentions? No. Some folks, they might have had good intentions, but in a frantic moment, they dropped you. Some people in my own life that I thought were going to be there forever are now gone. They have dropped me. And I understand how that is. And I know all of you understand how it is as well to be dropped by other people. And that shows us why we cannot put our faith in other people. Because they are nothing but sinners as we are. Amen. Other people are sinners as we are. So we cannot put our faith in other human beings, in other mortal people. So after Merab Baal was dropped, he became lame on both of his feet. So his name was then changed to Mephibosheth. Now catch this. What it means is the shameful thing. Mephibosheth means the shameful thing. So after he was dropped, he went from mighty contender with Baal, idol breaker, to the shameful thing. It's a sad thing when you go from mighty contender with Baal to the shameful thing. And for 5 chapters in the Word of God, we hear nothing of this young man named Mephibosheth. But in chapter 9, where we just read from tonight, we see him once again. But we find him in the place called Lodibar. Lodibar was a place across the Jordan River. And the name of the place literally means a place of no pasture. Lodibar was a desert place. It was a place of rejection. Lodibar was a place of desolation and isolation. But listen to me tonight, church. Lodibar was not only a physical place over there, but it is a mental place that we can get in. And more importantly, much more importantly, Lodibar is a spiritual place that sometimes we can find ourselves in. So after Merab Baal was dropped, he found himself several years later sitting in that place called Lodibar. And a lot of the church world today, I believe, is in Lodibar. The place where you feel like an outcast. The place where you're in a dry season in your spiritual walk with God. Lodibar. That place of no pasture. And a lot of Christians will find themselves in that place more often than not. We find ourselves in a place where we're struggling to get through to God sometimes in prayer. And I've heard folks say it. I pray and I pray and I pray, but it seems like my prayers cannot get through the roof. Amen. You may be in Lodibar. You may be in that place of isolation and desolation, and it's an attack of the enemy against Christians where they feel like their prayers can't get answered. Because it's an attack of the enemy to make you feel that way so that you'll stop praying. But if you keep on praying, the Word of God says that when you pray, He hears. Amen. When we pray, God hears. I have faith in that tonight, that when I go to God in prayer, when I go to God in the name of Jesus, calling on His name, I can have faith to move mountains, and the power of God can come into my life when I go to God in prayer. But everybody gets in that place of Lodibar, and we go through dry seasons, and even churches go through dry seasons, because in the last few months, in the last few weeks, I've been to several churches preaching around the eastern part of this state. And I see different churches that I go to and they're quiet. They're dry. They're dead and they're cold. And it bothers me because I, not to make myself look any good, but I've been in prayer for these services that God would move, and you get there and the people want to just stare at you like you're crazy. Lodibar. A lot of the church world today has found themselves in that place called Lodibar. That place where everything is dry and barren and a wasteland. But I want to assure you tonight, just as sure as you may be in that place called Lodibar, just as sure as you may be in that struggle of your life, you can come out of that place called Lodibar. You don't have to stay there until you die. You don't have to live there until you breathe your last breath. You don't have to give up in Lodibar. You can come out. So I've come by this way tonight to let somebody know, do not take mail in Lodibar. It's time that somebody gets up and gets out. It's time to move from that place called Lodibar tonight. You don't have to wait 10 years to move. You don't have to wait 5 weeks to move. You don't even have to wait 2 hours to move. You can move from that place called Lodibar tonight by the mighty power of God. I want to look at this scripture though. We find in chapter 9 that David is searching for somebody from the house of Jonathan. Because you see, back in 1 Samuel chapter 18, David had made a covenant with Jonathan. 1 Samuel 18 and 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. They had made a covenant that when David came to the throne, he would not forget the family of Jonathan. Typically, when a new family came to power in Israel, the old family would be forgotten, as I said, done away with, and some even killed. But Jonathan and David had made a covenant. The very reason Saul hated David, we read that Saul hated David, and the very reason he hated him was because he knew that David was anointed to be the next king and not one of Saul's sons. He knew that and he hated him because of it. But it says the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. So we see David wondering in this ninth chapter, is there any left of the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake? And as I said, Saul absolutely hated David. He could not stand him. He tried to kill him on several occasions. And we find that David did not search out a family member of Saul because of Saul. He done it for Jonathan's sake. Because obviously David would not have searched or sought out a member of Saul's family because Saul hated him. But he did it for Jonathan's sake because they had made a covenant together. He could not be kind to Jonathan himself because Jonathan had died. So he found a family member of his to be kind to. So it is in the kingdom of God tonight. We're called and we're saved not because we deserve anything from God. I don't deserve anything from God tonight. God doesn't owe me anything. But I'm called and I'm saved for the sake of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God in His grace gives us what we don't deserve, and in His mercy He doesn't give us what we do deserve. Every one of us in this place tonight deserve the cross. Every one of you sitting under the sound of my voice deserve to hang and die to pay the debt of sin in our own lives. But we read in Scripture and thank God we know that the Lamb of God came down to this earth for our sake that we might not have to go to the cross. Now that that work has been performed, we as children of God are blessed. We as children of God are blessed, not because of what we have done, but we are saved and we're blessed for Christ's sake. I said I'm blessed tonight. I know I'm blessed, not because of me, not because of what I can do, not because of who I am, but because of whose I am. I'm blessed tonight in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come out. I'm blessed when I go in. I'm blessed in my basket. I'm blessed in my store. The Lord has made me the head and not the tail. That's the promises of Deuteronomy 28. We are blessed tonight, not for our sake, but for the sake of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who has given His life. Somebody needs to praise the Lord. The Bible says that David was looking for somebody who was left of the house of Saul. He did not say he was looking for somebody that was perfect. Too many times we look for somebody that's perfect. Somebody that meets every parameter that we have for somebody to meet. That's who we're looking for when we're looking for somebody. We want every point met that we have in our minds. But the Bible does not say he was looking for somebody that was qualified, looking for somebody that's perfect. He didn't say he was looking for somebody that had enough degrees to fill up a wall. He didn't say he was looking for somebody that could win a beauty contest. He didn't say he was looking for somebody that was the prettiest or the most handsome person out there. But the Bible says that he was looking for somebody that was left. Amen. I may not be perfect tonight. You may not be perfect tonight. I may not be qualified tonight for the kingdom of God. You may not be qualified tonight for the kingdom of God, but we can go on and praise God there. Amen. We're not qualified. I'm not qualified. I'm not perfect for the kingdom of God. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm not the most handsome preacher that you've ever seen. I'm not the most educated preacher you've ever seen. I only have a 10th grade education. I'm smart. I have a 10th grade education. I may not be perfect. I may not be qualified. But just as David said, he was looking for somebody that was left. He wasn't looking perfection. He wasn't looking a wall of degrees, but he was looking for somebody that was left. And I know tonight that I am still here. You are still here tonight, not because you are perfect, but because he is perfect. We're still here tonight because God has got a plan for our lives. I know without a shadow of a doubt tonight that God has a plan for my life. And just as God has a plan for my life, God has a plan for your life. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you shall continue that work until the day of Jesus Christ. God wants to begin a work in me, but God wants to begin a good work in me. And then eventually he'll have a perfect work in me. God has got something for you to do today. You're not here for nothing. You're not hearing my message tonight for nothing. You are here for a purpose that is divinely appointed and divinely anointed, and God has a plan for your life. Even though we may have to face difficulties in life, life will be hard. Life will make you struggle sometimes. You have to face this and you will have to face that, but we can still have faith in God because God has a plan for our life. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. I may not be perfect. I may not be qualified, but I am still left tonight. Shout unto God if you're still left. The devil could have already killed you by now. Had God not had a purpose for my life and God had a purpose for your life, that we'd already be dead. But I'm thankful that God has a plan. God has a purpose. I remember Brother Ricky saying it the other week when I was here. He said, God has a plan for your life, and we need to walk in that every day, knowing whatever I may face, whatever I may have to go through, even if I find myself in Lodi Bar, God has a plan for my life. And God had a plan for the life of Mephibosheth. When David asked, is there one left? Ziba, a servant of Saul, speaks up. Verse 3 and 4 says, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodibar. And here we see again that place, Lodibar. And as I said earlier, Lodibar is a place physically, but it's also a mental or spiritual state that we can get in. It's a place of literally no hope. Because once most people get in Lodibar, they never come out. A lot of people will get into that place and they'll never come out, because once you get in, it's hard to get out. But what I want you to know tonight is we serve a God of the impossible. When it looks like all the things in our lives are going to go wrong, God steps in and changes it. When it looks like everything in our life is struggling and everything we're barely making ends meet, God will sweep in and God will bless you. And we may find ourselves in that place, but we can know God still has a plan, and God is a God of the impossible. Amen. So David calls on Mephibosheth. And I can just imagine that surprise that Mephibosheth had. David is calling me. The king is calling me. What could have been going through his mind? I'm over in this barren, dry wasteland, and the king is calling me. The Lord only knows what was going through his mind. But when I thought about it, I doubt he stopped to ask anybody, should he go or not? Listen to what I'm saying. I doubt he stopped and wondered, should I go or not? I don't think he consulted with anybody in the place of desolation. I believe that he just got up and got out. When you have been in that place of Lodibar, when you have been in that place of desolation and isolation, when God calls you out, you don't need to ask anybody whether you get up and get out or not. When God calls you out, you just get up and go. And here's the question that I raise. How did he get there? Because the Bible says that he was lame on both of his feet. He could not walk correctly because of being dropped. How in the world did he get there? The simple answer to that, I don't know. But when you have a word from the king, when you have a word from the Lord, it doesn't matter if you're lame on your feet. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing, what kind of struggles you may have to cross over before you can get there. You are going to do whatever it takes to get to the king. It doesn't matter if you're lame on both of your feet. You can still get to the king because the king called his name. And if that even means falling on your knees, falling on your face, and crawling to get there, you'll do it. If that means having to go through some stuff in life to get there, you will get there. Tonight, I may not drive a nicer car than you, but I've still made up my mind tonight, I'm going to get to the king. Amen. I may not have as nice clothes as you do, but I'm going to get to the king. I may not have as much money as some, but I'm going to get to the king. Why? I may not be as qualified. Why do I say I'm going to get to the king? Because he has called my name tonight. The king has called my name. And you will talk to certain people, and I talk to them every now and then, and some folks, they'll just get saved and they're excited about the Lord, and they'll tell you, I found the Lord. Amen. Now I think about that. I found the Lord, how great it sounds, how wonderful it sounds, but we wouldn't know where to look. That's the plain fact of it. I found the Lord, but we would not know where to look. The fact is, he came looking for you. Amen. I can shout tonight because I know that I could have never found the Lord. I could have never got to where he was. But when he knew where I was, he came to me. And I will shout tonight because the king has called my name. And when I could not get to where he was, he came to me. Then the king has called my name tonight. And when he called my name, I said, I will go. That's what you have to say. The fact that David made the first move to rescue Mephibosheth reminds us that it was God who reached out to us and not we who sought him. We were enemies of God. But the Son of God loved us and came and laid down his life. Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mephibosheth makes it to the king's house because he knew that he had a word from the king and he was going to make it. Amen. So he finally makes it. Verse 6 says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. Now it's going to get quiet right here. But the problem today is we don't want to come to God and fall down on our face. But we want to come to him with our heads held high. But that's the opposite of how God would want it. When Mephibosheth came to David, he came and knelt before him, and the Bible says he did reverence. That's how God wants us to approach him. God wants us to come before him and bow on our faces and do reverence to him. James 4 and 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. If you want to come to the king, you've got to have a humble spirit. Mephibosheth came and he bowed down at the king's feet in reverence. Verse 7 says, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. David blessed Mephibosheth greatly. Where Mephibosheth had been in that land of no hope and desolation, he was now sitting at the master's table. And it did not matter that he had two lame feet. He was rescued by the king, and the king blessed him anyhow. As I told you tonight, we came to God and we had nothing to offer him. But even when we were lame on both of our feet, God blessed us anyhow with such a great gift of salvation. And David took Mephibosheth into his own family, and David provided for him and let him eat at his own table. Amen. Verse 8 says, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Mephibosheth looked at himself as a dead dog. But listen to me tonight, church. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sins when we came to God. But I'm thankful Jesus has called me out of that land of Lodibar, and He has given me a new life. I can shout tonight because I've been given a new life by and through Jesus Christ and the blood that He has shed on the cross of Calvary. Now I want us to look at this from a spiritual side. We've read what happened to Mephibosheth. He was in the land of Lodibar, the land of no hope, desolation and isolation. And he ends up eating at the king's table. Amen. As I said earlier, I believe that the church world is finding themselves in Lodibar. But Lodibar is not a place that we want to be. But I believe that a lot of people have gotten satisfied in that place of Lodibar. They think, I can never get out of this place. I'm here now. And I'm here for life. And that may be the case with some. Because as I said, it's hard to get out once you get in. But Lodibar is that dry place, and we may feel as if it's hard to get out. But if we'll put our faith and we'll put our trust in God, we can come out of that place. I believe today that we're living in the last days. The trumpet of God could sound at any moment. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Luke 12 and 40 says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. We are living in a world that's full of sin and wickedness. You look out there and you see what's coming out of the music industry, what's coming out of Hollywood and all of these different things, all of the perversion, all of the sickness, all of the wickedness that's coming out of these places. And we've got to realize we are living in the last days. And if we realize we're living in the last days, now we should really realize that we are living in the last of the last days. Jesus could come back at any moment. And when Jesus comes back, I do not want to still be in that place of Lodibar. I do not still want to be in that dry season. Because too many Christians are living a life that is just cold and dry and dead. They're living in Lodibar and they're satisfied. Sunday morning rolls around. They get up, they get dressed. They grab their Bible and they head to church. Sing, "I Shall Not Be Moved." And everything else. I'm going to sit on this church pew, sit on this chair, and I'm just going to listen to the singer sing. Going to listen to the preacher preach, and I'm going to leave without being changed. When you come in here with that attitude, you are in Lodibar. And you need to be delivered from that place. You don't have to stay there forever. It's time we get the fire of God back in our souls, where when we come through them two doors back there, we're excited that we can enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, that we can be thankful unto Him and bless His name. I pray that God would give us a church full of people like that. God would give us a church full of people with that mindset. I'm excited to come through them doors because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I've got a fire down in my soul that cannot be quenched by the world, that cannot be quenched by the flesh, and cannot be quenched by the devil. That's what will happen when you come out of Lodibar. You'll get a fire down in your soul that will get excitement in your soul for Jesus. That's what we need. Because if we're going to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, if we're going to go out and tell others about Christ, we've got to have something more than cold, dead, dry religion. We've got to have something more than a degree from a seminary. We've got to have the power of God back in our lives. We've got to get out of Lodibar so we can be full of the Spirit of God to tell a lost and dying world that Jesus Christ is coming back to take all of those way that it believed on Him. And those of you that might have found yourself in Lodibar tonight, you can have a new life. Just as Mephibosheth had a new life, because I can just imagine him over in that place. Maybe he was depressed. Maybe he was down. Maybe he was low. The scripture doesn't give any indication of it, but maybe he was. And just think what it meant to him when David called for him. There may be some of you in here tonight that you're in that place and you may be depressed, distraught, low down. But God is calling you tonight. God is calling every one of you to clear out of that place. God is calling every one of you to get out of that place. And when you get out of that place, God will give you that new life that which you seek. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." I want to tell you what happened when you came to the Lord. When you came to the Lord, you came to Him poor and desolate in your sins, but He quickened you together with Christ. That word quickened means to be made nigh. And I thank God tonight I've been made nigh to Christ. I've been made nigh to the Lord. And I have a new life tonight. Not because of who I am, but because of whose I am. Just as David gave Mephibosheth that new life, God can do the same for some of you tonight. Mephibosheth went from being a poor, pitiful nobody to sitting at the king's table. And just like him, we've now been given the unsearchable riches. Ephesians 3 and 8 talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ that we can walk in. We can be given a new life tonight. You don't have to stay in that place forever. We can go from Lodibar tonight to sitting at the master's table. And I want to tell you something about the master's table. When you go there, when Mephibosheth got there, he was seated. But the Bible says he had two lame feet. And he was seated. And there was a tablecloth there that covered his legs, of course. So when everybody else came in, they had no clue that he had those lame feet. Nobody even had a clue that he had those lame feet. So it is with us. When we sit at the master's table, our lame feet is our sin. Our lame feet is our struggles that we have. When we're sitting at the master's table, that tablecloth covers up our lame feet. And that tablecloth is the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood of Jesus makes it as if I never even had lame feet. Just as Mephibosheth had a new life, tonight we can all have a new life in Christ. You do not have to stay in that place of Lodibar. Tonight you may be in that place of Lodibar, but if you have faith in the Lord, if you put your trust in Him, no demon, no devil, no power of hell can stop you from coming out of that place. And when you get to the other side, you can do nothing but just give God praise. I want to close like this. I want to read that last verse that we read a few minutes ago. Verse number 13 of chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. It says, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. We may be lame on both of our feet tonight, but when we come to God and when we get out of that place called Lodibar, it doesn't matter anymore. When the blood of Jesus washes over your sin-sick soul, it doesn't matter anymore because that tablecloth covers it up. So as some of you may be in Lodibar tonight, that place is dry and barren. You don't have to stay there. You can come out tonight by the mighty power of God. Would you bow your heads with me? Tonight, I believe that this was for somebody.
Yes.
I don't believe that God gave me this to just come here and say a few words. I believe that this was for somebody. You know exactly who you are, that you are in that place called Lodibar where you can hardly feel the presence of God. You come into church and it's just going through the motions. I can tell you, you're not alone. There are plenty in the church world today like that. But you do not have to stay in that place.
Yes.
God wants you to come out tonight.
Yes.
I want to ask, is there anyone in here tonight you just say, Brother Adam, I am in that place of Lodibar and I need to get out of here. I don't want to die in that place. Would you slip up your hand anywhere over here? We see these hands. God sees these hands. Everyone standing to your feet, please. If you raised your hand or if you did not raise your hand, it doesn't matter. If you're in that place, if you find yourself spiritually in that place of Lodibar, God wants you to come out. And God is the only way you'll come out.
Yes. Yes.
As the music plays, I wish everyone would just come around this altar and gather and pray together that God would deliver us from that place called Lodibar.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God
can
my
move in
Savior,
your life tonight. God can move in your life tonight. You don't have to stay there.
Like a flood, His mercy rain, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy brings unending love, amazing. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone.